Today we have a very special guest calling in with us today. Larry Williams, who's also known as Bone Collector, is known for his streetball playing and is ranked among the best of the best. Currently, he not only plays streetball, but he also coaches young kids and teaches them the sport.
First off, thank you very much for taking your time to call in today. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you guys for having me. Such an honor to feel the support from everyone. I've been playing streetball for over 15 years, and it feels great to be able to continue to do it, spread the love.
Please tell us a little bit about yourself.
I started my streetball career out in New York at Rucker Park in 2001, where I got MVP for the 5 years in a row. I had the privilege of playing against Kobe Bryant, Allen Iverson, Jamal Crawford, and a long list of NBA guys, Steve Francis, Rafer Alston, like I mentioned, a couple of streetball legends, Allie Moe, I'll Be Right Back, a whole lot of game. I had the privilege of meeting those people early in my life in 2000, and those experiences that I gained from playing against those people helped me to do what I do today. And now I internationally travel the world, and I do tours and events, which include basketball clinics and training. And then I just like to play. So what I normally do is I just find a court in a local area, and I just go out and play. You get the kids out playing. And I just recently, a few years ago, I was giving my life over to Christ. So the movement itself is organic. I truly believe that, you know, you don't have to grow up and be somebody. You were born someone according to how much work you want to put in. And I don't think separation of classes should exist. So we're all God's people, and we need to work that way. So that's pretty much a good roundup of myself.
That's terrific. I mean, growing up, did you have a big inspiration who really pushed you?
Yeah, my dad played. He didn't play pro, but he played basketball every day when I was a kid. And I never knew why he would play every day, because he wasn't getting paid for it. Because I always thought if you're going to do something every day, you should be getting paid for it. And he told me, if you lose the love for the game, then you would probably want to get paid. If you love the game, it wouldn't matter what you make. And he really inspired me to continue to do what I'm doing today. And I can't thank him enough. He's very proud of me. And he really changed my life when it comes to my basketball approach.
It's always great to have personally, when I play sports, it's always good to have a good coach behind you and a mentor to really help.
All right, moving on.
Yes, it is.
Did he teach you how to play basketball, or was that somebody else?
Excuse me, can you repeat that?
Did he teach you how to play basketball, or was that somebody else?
Oh, yeah, my father taught me everything I know. Before I was breaking ankles, he was breaking mine. I hate to tell those stories, that the truth is I had a rivalry with my father. I didn't beat him until I was 18, and I was really good. You know, I'm better now, but I was still good at 18. So I don't know if you can imagine how good he was. He was, in my opinion, he was the best streetball player ever, and he had sort of a Michael Jordan kind of game where he would just get straight to the point. He would make a fool of you constantly, and you couldn't do anything about it. So that's why I do it today.
So we know that a lot of people, well, you're known as Bone Collector. Where did that nickname come from, and when did it start?
The nickname Bone Collector came from Rucker Park in New York. I was out in my first two games in New York. I made a guy fall, and the guy hit his back on the gate, and the ambulance came and got him. The second game, a guy was trying to guard me full court, and he ended up pulling his hamstring, and the ambulance came and got him, and then they found out that he tore something in his hamstring. And then the third game, a guy reached for the ball. I threw it between his legs. He reached for it. He broke his finger on the ground. Paramedics came and got him. So the paramedics would just park outside the park every day just in case I made somebody get hurt. And the guy on the mic said, man, I got a good name for you, Bone Collector. and it's been with me ever since.
That is a very good name.
We've seen clips of your game. However, we haven't seen the style of play you prefer most. For example, shooting from the outside or playing closer to the basket. In today's game of basketball, which do you think is more important for someone just starting off?
For someone just starting off, I would tell them, don't pay too close attention to today's game, because today's game is more so about the perimeter. Everyone wants to shoot in, and, you know, it's just a changing of the times. But I would say focus in on, you know, watch some 90s and 80s basketball, where the ball movement was more important than the player. So you had a couple of individual players that were good, from Iverson to Kobe and those guys, but they knew what to do, when to do it, and how to get it done. And nowadays you have multiple players that want to, you know, individually take over the game instead of allowing the team to do it. So for a player starting off, I would say, you know, go away from the perimeter, take things to the basket, more basket-oriented. That's just in my opinion. Me personally, I drive to the basket every play. I've played in games where I've scored 100 points and I didn't take a jump shot. And I know it's really effective to drive. So that would be my advice for the youth nowadays.
So we know your nickname Bone Collector is because you've injured many other people, but have you personally had any injuries or setbacks that have held you up along the way?
Oh, yeah, I broke my leg in 2014. A guy slid under me and broke my leg. And then this past October, I just had surgery on both my shoulders. And I'm actually recovering from that now. And it's a good process. One thing that I've learned throughout being injured this last time with my shoulders is that the work you put in is always going to outweigh the things that you want to do. So, for instance, if you feel like, hey, I want to make my high school team, I want to make my college team, I want to make this pro team, the work that you put in will always open up that door. And, you know, not being able to use my full range of motion right now, I work every day. I play basketball every single day, and I won't stop playing until I get back to being comfortable. And every day I get a little bit better. So dealing with injury is a tough thing, and I pray for those people who have to go through tough injuries. But please believe me, hard work will take away anything.
All right, next we would like to move on to the topic of the NBA. How does streetball differ from the NBA?
Streetball is different from the NBA for one reason. Streetball is a continuous highlight, and the NBA is a series of plays that lead up to highlights every so often. So, for instance, you can go to my social media page and you can click a video and you'll see highlights the entire video for 1 minute straight. For the NBA, you need a recap to catch the highlights. That's what they put them on ESPN at night. And that recap shows you all the highlights of the game. Our job is to create highlights, keep the crowd entertained at the same time while doing the basketball stuff according to the regulation rules. So our job is a lot harder, but when you've been doing it as long as I have, it's second nature. Streetball, in my opinion, is harder than the NBA. The NBA is obviously, you know, blessed with multiple different talented players. But, you know, their mindset is that we got to win a championship by any means. Regardless of how it looks, we have to win a championship. So certain things in streetball that don't translate, like, you know, the fouls are a little bit different in streetball. You don't shoot free throws in streetball. It's just a different genre, and the way it differs is more so along the lines of entertainment.
Is there a specific NBA player who you feel that resembles your style of play the most?
To be honest, I don't watch the NBA because I'm so busy. I play basketball every day, so I don't really have time, and I'm really into my Bible right now, studying Revelation. So I don't watch it, so I don't want to say anything that is incorrect, politically incorrect. I'll just say I know a lot of players that embrace streetball from the NBA. Jamal But anything similar to me, I don't know. I couldn't say.
So earlier you spoke about your experience playing. Well, can you go into a little more detail about your experience playing with Kobe Bryant?
Yeah. Back in maybe 2003 or 4, Rucker Park, the scene was there was a big game, and the way that it worked is you never knew what NBA player was coming until right before tip-off. So I'm on the court, everybody's warming up, and we see Kobe Bryant come from the back, and everybody's like freaking out and running around, and I didn't know. I had no idea. You know, I'm a young kid getting my streetball career started. I had no idea he knew who I was. And he came up to me and he said, "Hey, Bone Collector, I see you out here doing your thing. Keep working, man. You're good at what you do." And I didn't know what to do at the time because, you know, I'm like, man, this is Kobe Bryant. But I really appreciate this compliment, but I didn't know what to do at the time. But I embraced it and I watched him actually play. And it was great. And he told me some things about my own game that I could fix, about my perimeter shot and when to shoot and the timing on the jump shot. So that experience was like once in a lifetime. I'll never forget it. It's something that sticks in my memory to today. I use everything he told me on the court today when I'm playing.
That's great.
What inspired you to become a coach and teach the younger generation the rules and skills of basketball?
The things that inspired me to coach and teach these young kids the skills of basketball is the fact that a lot of kids won't make it to the NBA. A lot of kids won't, you know, make their college team. A lot of kids won't get an overseas contract. But they still should be able to learn how to maneuver in those fields, so to speak. So just because a kid doesn't get the opportunity doesn't mean he shouldn't be able to have the chance to learn it. So my job, I played professional basketball. I played all over the place. I played overseas. I played in the D League. And I've done all these things, and I've trained NBA players, so I know the process and what it takes. So what I do is give them an opportunity to see how they would fare up, put them through some of the NBA drills, and, you know, keeping them acclimated with the things that go on with the pros. So, and it's my passion because when I was a kid, my dad did it for me. And I just don't want to turn my back on the people that support me. So I'll be here with them until I quit playing, which is never. So we'll be doing this forever.
That's great. How did it feel when you were selected by Slam Magazine as the most dangerous street player in the world?
Man, it felt great, you know. The most surprising thing to me is the kids that support me now. It just blows my mind that I have a son that's 11, and all of his friends know who I am, and I run into kids all over the world, and they say, man, Bone Collector guy is ridiculous. They think I'm a new player, and that blows my mind more than anything. So to be put on that list for the most dangerous, it was just like icing on the cake. With everything else that goes on in my everyday life, with just playing street ball, that made it even more important to me. And also, Shaquille O'Neal recently went out and made a statement saying that I'm the best streetball player of all time. So those two things, I would say, just blow my mind sometimes. It keeps me humbled, though, to let me know that there's more work to do. And if I'm already being considered on as that, then I need to do more because I want to set the bar higher for my kids and the kids who follow me.
Very inspiring. And what did you need to do in order to receive the achievement? Were there any specific things you needed to do in order to get the award?
Well, you know, it's body of work. MVP 5 years in a row, Rucker Park, and then translating over to the ABA, winning the championship, then the D League, winning the championship, then overseas, winning the championship, then back to street ball. Then re-signing with the team, with the N1 team, and then now running my own company, Team Ankle Breakers. I think that my body of work and people see that I'm currently doing things and constantly out and about. I think that they translated that into, you know, a legendary sort of situation. Because one thing that I know about legends is, you know, I pray that guys like Michael Jordan never quit playing basketball because he was my favorite player. But I don't know if I can type in Michael Jordan plays basketball today and it'll, something will come up. But, you know, those are the things that, you know, they say legends never die. So I never wanted to be that kind of person that you couldn't type in something or the kids couldn't look up what I'm doing and look today and see that I was playing ball today. And I think that's why they gave me those accolades, because I'm constantly and I'm continuously growing my brand and my following and so on and so forth.
Last up, what is your routine while preparing to play in games?
My routine before a game?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my before game routine consists of I listen to classical music. I listen to a lot of classical music just because the music itself tells a story without words, and I feel like when I'm playing basketball, I'm telling a story. So I listen to classical music to get my mind connected to the body, and then before every game, I usually work out. I usually do a series of curls, dips, abs, squats, just so my body's acclimated. I don't have to ever work on my ball handling because I've been doing it so long, it's second nature. So what I'll do is I'll get out and I'll shoot a couple of, you know, quick pull-up shots just to get the trajectory of my shot, right? And then from there, it's all, you know, mental for me. I look at who I'm playing and I just study them. Like if I'm playing, you know, if I go to a pickup gym and I see somebody, a team that just won, I'll look and find who's the best player on the court and I'll study everything he's doing. And when I get on the court, I'll guard him and I'll make sure I, you know, take the head off the snake, so to speak. And that way it's easier for us to win. So it's all strategic for me. It's almost like war for me. It's my preparation.
Thank you very much again. Very inspiring. We're big fans, and we love seeing those videos on social media. So thank you very much.
Oh, thank you guys very much.
And
no problem, man.
It's a pleasure to have you.